If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray and I discuss everything Clash of Champions from last night. Champions changing hands. What was the match of the night? Did Becky steal the show? Did Kofi steal the show? Is Seth Rollins still your Universal Champion? And did we see The Fiend at all last night? All questions answered on today's episode. Plus, get this, we have your NXT Champion, Adam Cole, baby, in studio. We talk about everything that's going to happen on Wednesday. Is there a war between NXT and AEW? Is NXT clashing with Raw and SmackDown? All that stuff with the main roster. We talk all of it with your NXT champion, Adam Cole. All today on this episode of the Busted Open Podcast.
The match that stuck out to me the most, and I'll go, you know, start it off here. I thought Sasha and Becky stuck out the most.
Yeah, I would say so. I think when you have those two women together, two of the best, as we always say, and the fact I think it's the perfect dance partner right now for Becky Lynch, your champion, and you talk about a feud just weeks away from Hell in a Cell, I thought that was a damn good showing last night at Clash of Champions.
And I don't want to say I told you so, but I want to get your opinion on something. Do you think that Sasha Banks made Becky Lynch up her game last night?
Absolutely. You always play up to your competition. Hell, we always kind of reference to the NFL. If you're playing a last place team, you're probably not going to give your best effort. But when you're going up against a first place team, you better up your game. You better roll. You better have all engines revving. And I think that's exactly what we saw from Becky Lynch as your champion last night.
I definitely saw Becky Lynch working up to Sasha's level, because when it comes to a pure in-ring pro wrestler, Sasha is a bit better than Becky, which is good because it's only going to make Becky better. And last night you saw that it did. It brought out the better of her wrestling ability, her intensity, her selling. Everything about Becky last night was better because she was in the ring with Sasha. And I thought they both worked very well. Good match, great false finishes, good submissions, the registering, the selling, everything, and then the brawl to set it up and then bring it all back to the ring. There were a couple of little wonky things that didn't make sense to me, especially the referee thing. But that's such a small little hiccup along the way. I think they're setting up for what could be a great last woman standing match, or a false count anywhere match, but it seems like we're going to get them at Hell in a Cell. Whether or not we get them in the cell remains to be seen.
I would be surprised if we don't, but this is the makings of what makes an old school great pro wrestling feud, Bully. Think about it. There's history between the two. You always say, when is it at its best? When they were once friends, and they were once really good friends, especially on the NXT brand, and then you move them forward to what they're doing now. And Sasha took a bit of a backseat to Becky Lynch. For a while, it was the opposite. Becky Lynch took a backseat to Sasha. We saw everything that happened after WrestleMania 35 with Sasha Banks and how she kind of took the ball and went home. And here's Becky Lynch, you know, holding both titles, and now just the Raw Women's title, and we don't know what the future holds for Becky, and we're probably going to get at some point about what we're going to see over the next few weeks with a draft that's going to be taking place and where everyone's going to go. But this has the makings of an old-school classic pro wrestling feud.
And when you say old-school, I get excited because old-school works. And if you watched the audience last night, if you watched the fans, they were on their feet a lot. They were invested. They were cheering. Just listen and watch the expressions on their faces. It was a good story. Great job all around by those two women. I loved it. But Dave, I got to ask you this. Have you ever seen any more disconcern for a referee's well-being than last night?
Nobody cared. In your time, boy, you've seen a lot of referees, especially Earl Hebner and TNA, get bumped around a lot. But when you get walloped by a chair and you're laying on the mat, which seemed like forever, and nobody really cared. I hate to be him right now.
Not only did they not care about him, but eventually referees came down to the ring to break up Becky and Sasha, right?
Yes.
So they came down the ring to break up Becky and Sasha, but when not one of his fellow referees came down to help him. He felt like the Seth Rollins of referees. Nobody cares about him and nobody wants to help him.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of, because we've talked a lot about Madison Square Garden the last few weeks, it reminded me of the championship match between Hulk Hogan and the Iron Sheik. Because if you remember, Hogan wins the title, Iron Sheik is laying flat on the mat, and like the referee, like, walks over the Iron Sheik's body to hand Hulk Hogan the championship. Howard Finkel walks over Iron Sheik's body to make the announcement that Hulk Hogan is the new champion. Everybody's celebrating while the Iron Sheik is still lying flat on the mat. Kind of reminded me a little bit of what I saw last night.
I can only imagine what Sheik was saying. I stretch you. You work out of me, jabroni. I'm making that Hulk Hogan. You sons of bitches. I sell out Madison Square Garden.
I make you humble.
I break your back. I make you hunger. You son of bitch. But yeah, like the ref. And then the referee is like down for like 10 minutes after a chair shot to the dreaded elbow.
Yes.
I'm just goofing off here. I'm not going to let the referee spot take away from what I thought was good. How about the mustard? Sasha covered in mustard. What was that for?
It kind of reminded me a little of Dean Ambrose a couple of years ago when he was getting very, very gimmicky. But I just love the fact that Sasha referenced the mustard later on. She's like, you actually got mustard on me.
Do you know how long it takes to dye all of that hair blue? Do you know how, like, and to keep the hair that color and then all of a sudden yellow mustard? I'm surprised she didn't stiff the piss out of Becky for that. And she probably did.
Yeah, we probably didn't see it. Probably there was definitely words when they got in the back after
that. It's like everything else is fine. You know, all is good in love and war. And, you know, we'll fight, as women. And you might have did this to me. And I might have said this about you. But how dare you, bitch, get mustard in my hair?
I will say this, Bully. Isn't it kind of telling? Because, listen, like you said, top to bottom was a very good pay-per-view. We actually seen titles change hands. We got a hell of a main event with a big surprise at the main event. But, you know, here we are starting with Sasha and Becky, and I think that's very, very telling because I think Sasha's playing the perfect role. She plays the perfect heel. I still think Becky right now is probably the most popular wrestler in the WWE, even judging from her reaction last night. I think it's very telling that we're starting with this matchup from last night.
Are you inferring that it's telling that we're speaking about the women?
Well, that Becky Lynch is very, very compelling when it comes to the world of the WWE.
I just think that we're starting off with the best match of the night. I'm not even looking at men and women. That doesn't even matter to me. The match last night that has me talking right now, right off the bat on our show, is that match. That's the one that I was most emotionally connected to. Because they made me care. Not that all of the other matches that made me care weren't. I mean, listen, Eric Rowan and Roman Reigns and what we got to see with the returning Luke Harper, I cared. I thought it was a good job. Braun and Seth, good job. I cared. I really cared about Bobby Roode because on a personal note, I get to see my friend finally being utilized the right way. Whether or not that continues, who the hell knows? But man, that match with Sasha and Becky, I really gave a damn about. And like when Sasha hit the two, what did she hit? The two, the back crackers and then put her in the submission. And there's a lot of great storytelling there. And, you know, it's so funny. I'm almost, Dave, tempted to click on the old Twitter machine, like, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Sasha and Becky fans don't know what to do. They're scratching their head because we're putting them both over.
Yeah, this is this might be unprecedented when it comes to the world of the WWE. Because you know what, Bully? You hit the nail right on the head because you said emotional investment. There was a lot of emotional investment leading to WrestleMania 35, and then we got the moment at 35, and then I think things started to change. Now, I can't put all that blame on Lacey Evans, and you know, some of the blame has to probably go to Becky as well. But I think that would have been completely different if we would have got an opponent like Sasha in the ring with Becky right off the bat. This is the perfect story for Becky Lynch. And listen, I'm intrigued. I can't wait to see what happens next. I can't wait to tune into Monday Night Raw to see what Sasha and Becky's reaction is going to be. And man, I can't wait to see them in a Hell in a Cell match, because that has to be what we see at that pay-per-view.
WWE likes to traditionally blow through storylines and angles. This one has legs.
Yes.
I really think they need to play this slow and low and get really, really deep into some legitimate storytelling. If you think about it, Becky and Ronda on social media had everybody buzzing because of the back and forth. But Becky and Ronda didn't have a tremendous amount of history together, right, Dave?
None at all.
Okay, and but they were able to make it seem like they were childhood friends and now had all this animosity. Sasha and Becky do have a history together. They need to take every little piece of that history and bring it forward on social media. Because Sasha is very talented with the things that she said. I mean, her tweet last night was a global killer. I mean, she hit Becky with a pretty good one last night. Did you see it?
No, what was that?
Well, you should have been on social media.
Oh my God! Will you just tell me what it is? Why do you have to always dig in with your cleats? Just say what the tweet was. Why do you always have to take a shot at me?
I noticed
you weren't doing that on Thursday with your best friend Tommy on the show. You never did that. But go ahead, tell us what the tweet was for those who didn't get to see it.
I took so many shots at Tommy on Thursday, and you're more than welcome to take a shot back, unless, of course, that pneumonia is still getting the best of you.
Okay.
Alex, what was the tweet?
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. Are you?
Do you have the tweet,
are
Alex?
Are you speaking about the one where she says, I still get the winner's check money bag emoji?
It's the one where she talks about all men have to answer to their boss.
Oh, I have it. Okay, so...
at least somebody does.
Becky says... So Becky posts a picture of her holding the title at the top of the stage saying, Sasha fans really love to emulate their hero. Now they're all crying too. Hashtag the man came around. But then Sasha hit her back with, at the end of the day, every man answers to their boss. Time for you to clock out, Becky. Your shift is over.
Oh, I like that.
It's a really, really good one.
I like it.
You know? So I'm as interested in their Twitter banter as what I'm seeing in, on TV. And back to my original point, slow and steady with this one. They can get a lot of matches, a lot of unique scenarios, and some good storytelling from two women who can get the job done. And I got to tell you, I saw just tiny bits on the WWE Network of the Sasha piece that they did.
Oh, the Chronicle? Yeah.
The Chronicle on Sasha. And the part that I caught was how she had lost her love for wrestling for a while there and how getting away helped her so much. You can see that in her performance. You can see how Sasha splitting after WrestleMania has benefited her. She has a different zest to her out there. She's recharged. She's rejuvenated. And a rejuvenated Sasha Banks is going to make Becky Lynch and the entire women's division even better.
Bully, I totally agree. And you mentioned Ronda. And we know with Ronda Rousey, Bully, to go back to your point, with Ronda Rousey, the comeback from a lot of fans is like, she doesn't deserve to be there. She's not a pro wrestler. She's only in the position that she's in because of name value. And we know that that was complete bullshit, because she did earn that spot because she did a fantastic job. You hear no excuses like that, Bully, when it comes to Sasha Banks. The road that Becky went on is the same road that Sasha went on. That's why this is such a compelling feud moving forward.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Luke Harper definitely shook things up last night. And how about this? I don't know if a lot of people would have guessed this, but Eric Rowan getting the victory over Roman Reigns.
I like the way they did it. I didn't think that that was going to happen, but it was creative. And I think, I know speaking for myself, I was really happy to see Luke Harper back. With everything that he's been through, back in the mix, in a pretty good story, working with the top guy in WWE, in Roman, he's definitely going to be associated with the story now. I thought they did a good job, and it made sense.
Yeah, and again, like, I love the way that they've been using Roman Reigns. Bully, you've said it before. They can't just have Roman come in and then go right after the championship. He's got to be involved in some other feuds and some other stories, and they've done that. And Roman Reigns losing last night, he has really gotten the emotions from the WWE universe. I think he had them, and then after a loss like that last night, you didn't get like the big pop from the crowd when you got Luke Harper making his return. Because I actually think the fans in that building in Charlotte wanted to see Roman Reigns win. They're invested in him. They're emotionally invested in him. And I love the story that they're now telling with Eric Rowan, because now it's not the end of the story. It's now another chapter in this book and what's going to happen next.
People have been emotionally attached to Roman Reigns ever since he came back from his leukemia battle. You know, it's been a blessing and a curse. Obviously a curse because he had to fight through it in real life, but that real life story became a blessing for him wrestling-wise, because Roman was, as we talked about, so polarizing. People, you know, some people loved him, some people hated him. But after he, you know, he bounced back from the leukemia, people were on his side. They wanted to be on his side. And now he's been in stories that don't involve a championship. He's not being force-fed as he once was. People want to see Roman battle back. And keeping him away from the championship is smart. Keep him involved in good storylines. Keep stacking the deck against him. Keep beating him the way they did last night. Because the more you can beat a babyface in effective manners, the more people will want to be behind that babyface. You know, I always use the example of Dreamer and the Sandman on the show. And I know not a lot of people can't relate to it. But these guys wanted to lose every single night. They wanted to lose on purpose. Because in losing, they knew that they would get more over. So Roman Reigns losing last night actually gets him over. Especially with the way they did it. How can you not feel sympathetic for Roman Reigns after last night? You said it yourself, people. Dave, it sounded like people wanted Roman to win, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Very much so. They were into Roman Reigns. They wanted to see him beat Eric Rowan because of everything that Rowan had done to him the week before and everything that Rowan and Daniel Bryan had planned for him. This whole story unfolded, and everybody was ready for Roman Reigns to kick Eric Rowan's ass. And just as it was about to, you know, to happen and end, here comes the returning Luke Harper, and we've stacked the deck against Roman again. It's almost impossible to not be behind Roman after the past 6 months or so, or 8 months since he came back. They're doing a great job of washing away the bad taste that they had put in fans' mouth about Roman Reigns.
Agreed.
We're not getting Jack and the Beanstalk promos anymore from Roman, right?
No, we're not. And the fact that we had Roman Reigns lose to Eric Rowan. Think about that. If I would have said to you a year ago, you know what, at a pay-per-view, Roman Reigns was going to lose a match to Eric Rowan, you would have thought I was nuts. But judging from the story, judging from what happened, and judging the emotional involvement now, this is how you feel sympathy for somebody like Roman Reigns. And they're doing it well. And this is where I got to give credit to the WWE as well. We're on the horizon of a lot of changes with the WWE. We're going to have Adam Cole in studio at 11 a.m. Eastern time to talk about NXT moving to Wednesdays. We also know that SmackDown's moving to Fox on Fridays. All right, some big changes for the WWE. I actually thought going into last night, Bully, that at Clash of Champions, we were going to see the end of stories and the beginning of new ones. Because we know now that there's going to be a draft coming up in a month on both SmackDown and Raw. Things are going to change. But judging coming out of Clash of Champions last night, they're furthering the storylines and they're making them better. It's very, very interesting what they did last night moving forward to a lot of the changes that are going to be made in the WWE.
I'm not sure why you thought you'd see storylines end last night. Clash of Champions is not like, you know, it's one of the secondary pay-per-views.
It's not so much about the pay-per-view, Bully, but because of the changes that are going to be happening. Knowing that there's a draft on the horizon and that SmackDown's moving over to Fox, I thought they were going to do a bit of a reset. But judging from last night, they're not doing a reset at all.
Nope, they're carrying things through. And like I said, I enjoyed the show last night. I really don't have much to, you know, harp on. And I'm glad because I don't want to harp on it. I'd rather talk about the positives of the show than anything else. So, yep, they're moving through.
And you talk about Harper. Are they finally going to use Luke Harper the right way? After seeing last night and him being involved in a Roman Reigns loss, I always looked at Luke Harper the best of the Wyatt family. Think about that. Eric Rowan, Braun Strowman, and Bray Wyatt, and what they've been able to do with those personalities and those characters. The one a few years ago that I thought was the best out of the bunch was Luke Harper. They never seemed to really have a place to put Luke. He never seemed to be a fit. Are we going to see that change? Are we going to see them use Luke Harper the right way, judging from what we saw last night?
I'll give you an example of why I think there's hope for Luke Harper.
Go ahead.
You ready? You ready?
Yep.
Bobby Roode.
Bobby Roode, who's now a tag team champion and actually pinned Universal Champion Seth Rollins for the victory last night.
Where was Bobby Roode 2 months ago?
Nowhere.
Where was he last night?
In a championship match on a pay-per-view.
And he pinned the Universal Champion with his finish. There was no help from Dolph Ziggler, was there?
No.
Last night, Bobby Roode, a guy that 2 months ago was as far on the back burner as you can get, pinned the Universal Championship to win the tag team championships for his team. That's why I think there's hope for Luke Harper, because I think with the new sets of eyes in place on Raw and SmackDown, possibly guys like Paul and Eric can get across to Vince the things that they see in talents like a Bobby Roode and a Luke Harper that Vince might not be seeing. And that's why I think there's hope for Luke Harper. Now, is there hope for Luke Harper on his own? Probably not. Or at least right now, I'd say no. Is there hope for Luke Harper and Eric Rowan as a team? I'd say yes, because they've always been good as a team. I think the Bludgeon Brothers was an awful idea that should have never happened. I think Harper and Rowan as a team that was a branch off of the Wyatt family, that I really liked. Just leave these guys alone and let them be who they are. The Bludgeon Brothers was so gimmicky. You know, it kind of reminds me of the Viking Raiders. It's so gimmicky. Stop. They were over as War Machine. Leave them alone. Let them be War Machine. Yeah. Harper and Rowan were over as Harper and Rowan, as of the Wyatt family. Did they really need a makeover?
No. They were fine the way they were. But they decided to give them. But you know what? Like you said, Harper and Rowan did the best of it. And I think they actually made that tag team work.
Which one?
The Bludgeon Brothers. Like, it was a bad idea on paper, and I thought it was awful to start. But because they were so good, I thought they actually got it over. As best as they could.
Absolutely. And the first thing that pops into my mind is Dusty Rhodes and polka dots. What an awful gimmick.
Awful.
Dusty got it over, you know? So I'm not comparing Harper and Rowan to Dusty Rhodes, but I'm talking about awful ideas that other guys made work. Now, did Harper and Rowan make the Bludgeon Brothers work as much as Dusty made the polka dots work? No. That's because they didn't invest time in those guys. But yes, Dave, I agree with you. Those guys worked hard. They're hard workers. They're really good at what they do. You know, we on this show, me and you put Luke Harper over to, you know, to the moon. I told you that he is very well respected in the locker room and probably the best worker out of all of them. I'm happy to see him back. I hope they do the right thing with the tag team. And listen, Harper and Rowan versus Roman Reigns has legs. And then you could pepper Daniel Bryan back into it.
And that's the intriguing thing, too. Where does Daniel Bryan fit into this whole thing? Because you know at the end of the day he does. To your point, Bully, because you mentioned about Bobby Roode and Robert Roode, and you mentioned Luke Harper. Look at Clash of the Champions from last night for a second. You have Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler winning straps. You have Bayley beating Charlotte Flair. You have the Revival winning the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. You have Shinsuke Nakamura on a pay-per-view beating The Miz. You have Sasha Banks back, and you have Eric Rowan beating Roman Reigns. A lot of guys that were like, where the hell have they been? A lot of guys that were not being used in a major way for titles on that pay-per-view last night.
Yeah, it's because new sets of eyes see the talent in these other people.
Explain.
When you have a creative team that is dealing with the same set of talent week in and week out, everybody's going to fall into a pattern, into a comfort zone. And some people are just not going to see certain talent in certain wrestlers. I can tell you how talented Bobby Roode is because I've seen it firsthand. I've been in the ring with him. I know everything that he's capable of. Yeah, is he a bit one-dimensional because he's just a really great wrestler? I'll agree with that. He doesn't have a world of personality. He's very stoic. So what? Let's just put the emphasis on his work rate and what he can do. He's got a phenomenal entrance, a glorious entrance. Let's concentrate on the entrance and let's concentrate on the work rate. And that's what this new set of eyes on creative is doing. And I told you I didn't want to really talk about Paul and Eric and either put all the glory or all the heat on them. But in this case, I think Paul sees the potential in Bobby Roode. And that's why you're seeing him get another you know, opportunity. And last night was very telling. So, Dave, you know how we were just talking earlier on about how could The Fiend possibly be the number one contender for a championship because he really hasn't done anything except beat Finn Balor at SummerSlam?
Mm-hmm.
How is Bobby Roode, as of right now, not the number one contender to the Universal Championship?
Hey, he pinned the Universal Champion clean last night.
Completely clean with his finish, with no help from Dolph Ziggler. To me, Bobby Roode is your number one contender. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Think about that. Bobby. Think about that. Eric Rowan beat Roman Reigns, and Robert Roode pinned the Universal Champion Seth Rollins clean in the ring.
You can see how creatively there are different perspectives being put into place slowly but surely, right?
Yep.
Dave, I can tell you this from firsthand knowledge. Right now, Raw and SmackDown not only have one gun pointed at them, they have two. They have AEW and they have NXT. Both of these companies are gunning for Raw and SmackDown. Make no mistake. And you know who's really gunning for Raw or SmackDown? NXT. NXT is out to really, really prove themselves. So the competition within the WWE is starting to heat up. And obviously the competition that AEW is going to present is going to heat up, which is making everybody on Raw and SmackDown work harder, giving guys new opportunities, showing sides of guys we haven't seen before. And I think it's working. Last night it did. Now, in typical WWE fashion, they may come out tonight, and what might happen, Dave?
They might shit the bed.
I knew you were going to say that exact word, so that's why I'm glad I said Shepard. Exactly. It's all about the follow-up. But I can see the outside creative minds, like I said, like the Pauls and the Erics, seeing things. And Bobby Roode is the perfect example. He's the perfect example. How did the guy go from 2 months ago being nowhere and do what he did last night? How have we heard about Luke Harper being as off the radar as you can possibly be, come back last night and help his old partner beat Roman Reigns? Somebody has to be convincing Vince that these two guys that Vince might not have seen anything in are worth taking a look at again.
Well, Bully, you always say it. I think everybody would agree. Sometimes you need a new set of eyes to give you a different perspective. And judging from what we saw last night, we're definitely seeing another perspective.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
In studio, you talk about a big week, not only for the WWE, but obviously for this man as well. He's your NXT champion, and NXT going to debut on USA Live 2 hours coming up on Wednesday, Bully. And the face of the franchise and your NXT champion, Mr. Adam Cole. Adam, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. It's a really exciting week. Happy to be here.
Well, it is an exciting week, and we've talked to you several times, but here we are just about 48 hours before the show is live on USA, 2 hours. What is it like for you right now?
Again, just really exciting. Of course, there's a certain crazy amount of pressure that comes with the fact that you're going live on the USA Network, but it's something that our team's ready for. Mm-hmm. I think a bunch of us work best under pressure, like that feeling and that vibe at a takeover show. We know how big and important that is, so that brings the best out of us. Getting to do weekly television is just going to, again, take that pressure up 10 notches. But it's something I think we're ready for, and it really, really exciting.
Cole, we talk a lot about on this show NXT guys moving up to the main roster. Some guys extremely successful, some guys and gals it doesn't go so well for. You have done an awesome job in NXT, and probably one of me and LeGreca's favorite guys over there with the work that you do.
Thank you.
How does it feel to know that you're going to be bumped up basically and on the same playing field as Raw and SmackDown, but still in a place where you can flourish the most?
Yeah, I think that's part of why, or a big reason that this is so exciting. Because, you know, I've said before that I've been in NXT now for about 2 years, and to kind of see the growth of the brand and to be so proud of the product that we put on, I've said before it would just be so cool to have a television platform. And now that's becoming a reality. And like you said, for me to be able to stay true or be who Adam Cole is, the guy that I've built for years and years and years on the independents and internationally, just makes it that much sweeter. Again, I know that the fact that NXT is going to end up on television and so many new faces are going to get to check us out, I know we're going to create a lot of new fans. And again, it's just super, super exciting.
Is it surreal? Because you talked about all the work before you even got to the WWE. And then you talk about the growth of this brand, NXT, and where it is right now. And then you look at the jump from, you know, even doing with NXT smaller venues to 15,000, 20,000 seat arenas for the NXT takeovers and now going live. Is it a bit surreal for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you sit down and really think about it and talk about it. Because so much of this job, so many things are happening so fast that lots of times you don't have time to sit back and smell the roses. But just kind of reflecting on everything that's happened, not just for me, but for NXT in these 2 years, has been unbelievable. It's been so awesome.
We know the talent that's on that NXT roster. You get to work with them almost every day. We get to watch it on Wednesday nights. NXT fans are very passionate. With NXT and AEW basically on the same nights, and we could call it competition, we can call it war, that's not really what I'm interested in. I have a feeling that NXT is going to start becoming as interesting, as visible, as well-liked as Raw and SmackDown. I think there's a good chance that the NXT brand could in some ways surpass Raw or SmackDown with the style that you guys work. Could you see that happening in the near future?
I think that's definitely possible. I think a lot of it depends on what a specific wrestling fan is looking for in their wrestling. Because, you know, I know some people, of course, and they're absolutely not wrong for feeling this way. Some people prefer Raw or SmackDown. Some people prefer NXT. Some people prefer international pro wrestling. It kind of all depends on what you're looking for in your wrestling. But I certainly think that NXT getting this platform that we're getting, I think, again, a lot of people who love the NXT brand are going to love us even more. A lot of people who haven't checked it out but have been meaning to get back into wrestling who check us out are going to become weekly wrestling viewers again. But, yeah, I absolutely think and I totally believe in our group that NXT could be the number one brand.
It's funny because Bully mentioned a war on Wednesdays, and everybody's excited about the potential of a war. We actually had an AEW wrestler on. I don't know if you ever heard of her. Britt Baker was on. She said it really isn't a war. It's pretty much clear. It's one-sided. But seriously, like, think about that. People are excited about Wednesdays because there is competition. Bully just mentioned about Raw and SmackDown. Let's be honest here. You go to a Raw, you know, franchise, been around for decades and decades, but you don't hear chants of Raw. On Tuesday nights right now, you don't hear chants of SmackDown. Though on Wednesdays, you go to Full Sail, there's chants of NXT. In sold-out arenas for TakeOver, there's chants of NXT. And I know for myself, and I've said it on Busted Open many times, it's my favorite pro wrestling show of the week. And I think that's why it's kind of so separate from everything you see with the WWE. WWE is sports entertainment, but when it comes to Wednesdays and when it comes to NXT, it is about the foundation of pro wrestling. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, well, I think that is a huge reason that NXT is so successful is I know I've said this before, but I truly believe that those fans are just as much a part of the show as the wrestlers are. They are passionate. They've followed a lot of our careers, even before WWE. They feel like they're a part of this growth. I think that's why it's going to be so cool that we're doing NXT television at Full Sail, because those fans have been along for the ride now for so long. So they feel like it's a little victory for them as well, that they're going to be there chanting like crazy and just having a really, really great time. So they play a huge part in what NXT, the brand, has presented and why it's come across as like such a can't-miss show.
You know, what a lot of fans may not realize is that behind the scenes, there are producers and agents that get to help out the talent, whether that's with their promos, with their matches, with their psychology, the finishes, whatever it may be. You have the benefit and the luxury of working with three guys in Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Road Dogg. Those are some strong and very, very knowledgeable names to go to. Is there one of those guys that you work with more than the other? And who can you truly say you've learned the most from so far?
So, like you just said, all three of those guys are three of the smartest professional wrestling minds that I've ever met. But I do work with Shawn Michaels very frequently. Like, he's involved in some capacity as an agent or a producer, or a lot of times just an ear for matches I have at TakeOver or matches I have at television. And I have learned so much from him. To me, he's the greatest who's ever done it. So to be able to pick his brain and talk to him about anything in wrestling is still surreal to me. And he's just helped me so much with the way that my thought process works with wrestling. I think Shawn has an ear for a live audience better than anybody. So his ability to kind of get me to think like that and learn how to take the audience on a better ride has been invaluable. I'd say that's the most important thing he's taught me.
I mean, what's that like? I'm sorry, Bully. Go ahead. Really quick, what's that like for you? Because you grew up watching Shawn Michaels. Yep. You were a Shawn Michaels fan. So what's it like to be able to work with him one-on-one at your craft And, you know, 20 years ago, that was somebody that you were watching on TV.
Yeah, again, that's just one of the coolest things about WWE, to be able to get hired here. And then, again, in my opinion, the greatest to ever do it, to be able to pick his brain and be around him all the time. That's invaluable experience. I've said before that if I was with WWE for 3 years and then got fired and was done, still that time with Shawn Michaels would have been so worth it. That's how highly I think of him and how invaluable his knowledge is. He's unbelievable. And he really cares. That's the other thing. Really, really cares.
Has he ever given you any match advice or psychology where you just kind of looked at him and not agreed with it? Because, you know, Shawn is, you know, comes from a different, you know, generation of wrestling like you do. And things are different. You know, Shawn is an incredible storyteller. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the NXT crowd, despite the fact that they do like stories, they're more into the moves and the athletics. Are there ever times when Shawn says, you know, hey, maybe you should try it this way, and you go, I just don't think that's going to work?
So there haven't been times that I can think of off the top of my head where I've been in a situation like that, but there have been situations where he said something and I didn't really understand it. Like I remember there would be a point, at least on the independents, there was a phase where a lot of us towards the end of this epic match, we would do something really big and then just lay there and then get up and do something really big and just lay there. And Shawn's thought process about taking the audience on a ride involved picking the speed up at certain points and then taking your time. So I remember early on him trying to tell me that, and me being so used to the style of match that I had that it was really hard for me to get until one weekend I decided to do it, and then literally that ride that he was talking about, I managed to go on. And also Shawn, too, one of the coolest things is I think he has such a good understanding, it's actually amazing, of the style of today. Like, he loves the athleticism, he loves the big moves, he loves all that stuff. He gets excited when a crowd's going crazy. So that's the most important thing to him. So it's really cool how well that he's managed to adjust his psychology and his thought process into this new school style of pro wrestling.
That's awesome. You know, Bully and I talk a lot about music on this show, and we're both like metal guys. And when you were talking about NXT and you're talking about the fan base at Full Sail, how they feel like they've been with you on this ride since day one, and hey, this is our brand. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a band, you know, starting off in clubs and then getting their first record deal and getting signed to a major label and then playing arenas. And it almost sounds like when you're talking that the wrestlers feel the same way. Like, this is our family. This is our band, and you're going along with the ride.
100%. That's why for the longest time, we would like to say that if you go to Raw or SmackDown, it's a move to a new brand, not like a call-up.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many of us are so passionate about what we've built, because we've built it, but it was as well as the fans. They've played such a huge part in us going on the road or us going overseas or us doing takeovers with, you know, 15,000 people in that building. We're proud of the product that we put on. And I know the fans are proud to be an NXT fan. So so much pride there.
You know, myself, in working with Hunter and knowing his mind and his drive and his motivation and what he's been able to create with NXT, along with the help of, you know, guys like Shawn and Dog, but yeah, having that incredible roster, you get to deal with him, obviously, more than, you know, just about anybody else. Can you talk to his motivation right now? He's obviously motivated to, to do the best he can for NXT, beat all of the competition. But how motivated is he to actually have NXT do a better job than Raw or SmackDown?
Anytime Hunter is at NXT, it doesn't matter if he's been traveling every day for 2 weeks straight. It doesn't matter what he has going on. That guy is just so filled with passion and love for NXT. He is more proud of NXT than anybody. So I know he's ready to just make NXT the absolute best show that it can be. He wants to show the world that NXT deserves to be on the USA Network. He wants people to watch NXT and say, this is my favorite show. He loves it. And you can see it too. Every single television taping he's at, he's going nonstop, and he's filled with so much passion and love for this brand. It's contagious. It makes all of us feel the same way and so proud of it. But I know Hunter, as well as the rest of our team, we're just focused on making sure NXT is the best show possible, making sure that those fans leave saying that I'm so glad I tuned in, I'm so glad I came to this event. It's the passion is there for sure.
What would your message?
I think the most important word you just said there was contagious, because I haven't heard that word used in wrestling in a long, long time. And I got to tell you, the last time I did was in ECW with Paul Heyman. His passion was contagious, and his talent would legitimately go out there and want to kill themselves for the product. So to hear you use that word is really, really encouraging for what you guys are going to be doing in the future. I mean, it's a very old school mentality, but it's really great to hear you use that word.
Awesome. Yeah.
What would your message be? Because you're going to be doing a lot. I mean, over the next 24 hours, you're going to be doing a lot of press and a lot of TV and a lot of radio. So there's going to be people that you talk to that aren't like the Busted Open Nation, that aren't familiar with the work of NXT. What's the one message you want to get across to those fans to make sure that they tune in on Wednesday?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me is if you were a wrestling fan in the past and maybe haven't checked out wrestling recently, NXT is something you want to tune into. If you have never checked out pro wrestling or sports entertainment and you thought about maybe checking it out, NXT is something you want to check out. Because to me, I've used this to describe it. NXT is like a rock concert roller coaster ride. Anyone who has gone to an event live has left saying, that was exciting. That was fun. I saw some things that I've never seen before. I didn't think I would enjoy pro wrestling. A lot of people leave NXT shows talking about how, oh, I could watch this every week. I really, really enjoy it. So it's just, there's a fun connection between the wrestlers and the fans that, again, using that word contagious, I really do feel like it's something that's contagious amongst the fans as well. So if you're looking for an entertaining show of any kind, I really do think NXT is something that would leave people very, very excited.
Awesome. Really quick, I mean, Wednesday, this is a big show because it's a big show for not only you, but for the Undisputed Era. Roderick Strong going up against Velveteen Dream for that North American Championship. At the end of the day, when we're finished on Wednesday, Undisputed Era can have all the gold.
And that's the game plan. We've been saying now for weeks and weeks that we want the Undisputed Era's prophecy to be fulfilled, and that's for us to carry every single championship that NXT has to offer. How perfect would it be to end NXT's first time on USA Network, the start of this live on USA process, and it ends with the Undisputed Era draped in gold? It'd be perfect, right?
I think it would be. Bully?
Listen, I think that's the shot a lot of people want to see.
Of course, if Adam Cole wasn't here, I'd be talking about Velveteen Dream. But go ahead.
Oh, of course. Of course. Let me, Cole, your matches with Gargano have been, I mean, they've been awesome. They've been fun to watch, psychologically sound. And if you just, I always say to watch with your ears. Because if I were to cover up the screen and watch you, you know, and just listen to you and Gargano, I know there's a great match behind it. Is there anybody else there that you think you could have an even better match with, an even better program with, take the people on even a better roller coaster ride?
That's a tough one because of the level of respect I have for Johnny Gargano, and I know how good that he is. But again, one of the coolest things about our roster, and I'm not just saying this, I really feel like there are a couple guys that I could manage to do that with. I think if I had a really high profile match with Matt Riddle, me and him have a lot of chemistry, and I think it would be really cool to be in a situation where I could have a 25-30 minute match with him. Velveteen Dream is someone else I think I could have a really, really good match with. There's quite a few guys on this brand that a lot of us are interchangeable. You could put us in the opening match of a takeover or the main event, and it doesn't matter. I think that's one of the coolest things about this roster is so many of us can be moved or shuffled around however we need to be. But it's going to be tough to beat the series with Johnny. It's going to be tough.
NXT goes live in their network premiere on USA Live for 2 hours Wednesday night. And, of course, the face of the franchise, your NXT champion, Adam Cole. Last question before we let you go, and this is probably the most important question from me anyway. is what's with the video games, man? I mean, I'm 48, so I grew up playing Adventure where the dragon looked like a duck and RBI Baseball where there was actually only three players on the field instead of nine. But what's with the video games? What's with the obsession of it? And it's not just you, man. It's everybody.
Sure, sure. For me, when I was actually younger, or my early 20s, I thought video games were a giant waste of time. It was just wrestling 24/7 all the time, and there was not a chance you were going to get me to play a video game. Somewhere along the way, to me, it's like the ultimate escape. You get so attached to these characters the same way you would a movie or a television show, only you're in control of the character. There's so many different things you can do, so many different stories you can tell within a game. To me, again, especially when I get off the road and I sit down on the couch and I just want to play a video game for a couple hours, there's nothing more relaxing. I love them. I just got a giant arcade machine in the house now.
Wow.
Going nuts.
Wrestling's changed, huh, Bully?
a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot. But here's my final question. So October 2nd, right around the corner, and the inevitable competition of AEW versus NXT. Is there a little friendly bet in the household of who's going to do the better rating? I mean, if you win, what does Britt have to do? And if Britt wins, what do you have to do?
No. Well, truth be told, especially with me and her, I want her to do as best as she possibly can, and I want her to knock it out of the park. I know she feels the exact same way about me. But I will say this, is I know that they're focused on putting on the best show that they can, and NXT is focused on putting on the best show that we can. So in turn, it's a win-win for the fans. It's going to be an exciting night, and I'm excited to see what happens.
Okay, so that's a great politically correct answer. So now let's really, what's the bet? What's the bet at the house? Like, does she have to dig ditches
in a dental chair?
Really? There's really no bet. There's really no bet. None.
Can we make one? Can we make one for you guys? Yeah. And like send it in, you know, we'll send it in the mail or something and you guys can.
Sure.
You know?
If I win, she has to play video games with me for 3 hours.
But if she wins, you have to stop dipping.
Oh, no. Okay. All right.
Wow.
Well, that's what she said. Wow. That's what she said on the show.
I heard.
Terrible. I'm married to a Polish woman. It's like me not eating pierogies. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. You got to stop with that stuff. All right. You're NXT champion. Time is short. You're a busy man. You're the champ. And NXT is going live on USA on Wednesday. And again, as I said, the face of the franchise, your NXT champion, Mr. Adam Cole. Adam, thanks so much for the time today.
Thank you. Always a pleasure, guys.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, Channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Can't wait, Bully, for Wednesdays on the USA Cable Network.
I'm excited for that entire roster. I want to see them go out there and kill it. There's many reasons, but once again, I can associate with a company that does their own style, doing things their own way, and getting themselves on the map. And I think NXT is going to wow a lot of people.
And also, too, and you would know this better than me, Bully, do you think that the Raw roster and the SmackDown roster have something to prove? If they're watching NXT on Wednesdays, and let's just say NXT this Wednesday, next Wednesday, the Wednesday after, hit home runs, are they going to be trying to do the same?
Don't they try to do the same after every takeover?
I'm sure they do, but they're also handcuffed in a way. I know that sounds crazy, but they do have a lot when it comes to creative. Maybe I'm wrong. Do you think that the NXT roster has a little bit more freedom, or maybe even more freedom, or much more freedom than the roster of Raw and the roster of SmackDown?
Much more freedom. And if Hunter is truly in charge 100%, that freedom is going to allow NXT to go for the jugular. I'm telling you, the competition within the company is going to be as great as, if not greater than, the competition that's going to be presented by AEW. NXT is taking on AEW head-to-head, but is really going up against the main roster. So it's going to force everybody to be better. You don't think the competitiveness of Triple H is going to come out through his storytelling and booking with NXT. You don't think Triple H is going to want to see his baby do as good as, if not better than, Raw or SmackDown? You don't think Paul Heyman is going to be the guy that helps turn around Raw or Eric with SmackDown? You don't think these three guys are going to be competing against each other? Listen, they could come out and they can say all the right things. You know, they can toe the politically correct line and say this is all WWE. We're all just trying to put out the best product, yada, yada. And I get it. And I commend them for towing the company line, because at the end of the day, all three brands are underneath the WWE banner, and everybody should be working together to put on the best product across the board. However, there's something called a rating, and they're going to want to see if they can beat ratings of Raw and SmackDown. It's human nature. It's competitiveness. You think Triple H is just going to sit back and go, okay, guys, we're on USA. Just go out there and put on a good show, and, you know, don't worry about the rating, or don't worry about what we do. It's really not that important.
Not going to
happen, Dave?
No, not with Triple H.
Is Vince McMahon a competitive person?
Yes.
Paul Heyman a competitive person?
Yes.
Eric Bischoff?
Yes.
Triple H?
Yes.
Explain to me how competition does not come into play across the board within the WWE right now.
And it's a crazy dynamic. And forget about, and you could even throw in AEW, but for a second, let's throw out AEW. You have SmackDown that's going to have something to prove, because they're moving over to Fox. So they don't want to get a good rating. They want to get a great rating, because no pro wrestling show is ever going to have what they're going to have once they move over to Fox. Then you look at Raw, and Raw forever has been the flagship show of the WWE. That's in jeopardy with SmackDown moving over to Fox. And, oh, yeah, you have the new kids of NXT that don't want to be embarrassed by moving from the WWE network to USA, and they're going to want to have a great rating, to the point where Adam Cole is on our show saying that he's hoping that NXT will bring in a lot of those wrestling fans that may have checked out over the last 10 or 15 years. It's a crazy dynamic when you think about it right now, Bully.
Absolutely. And if you really want to go back in time, this NXT and AEW competition was really born out of Ring of Honor, because NXT was created because Ring of Honor was the only alternative to the WWE programming for a long time, while Impact was kind of had fallen, you know, to the wayside. Now we see Impact making a resurgence. But the NXT style is similar to the Ring of Honor style. It's the exact same style. And AEW was created out of Ring of Honor. So it's going to be interesting to see, because there's a large portion of wrestling fan right now that gravitates towards the Ring of Honor style, the NXT style, and the AEW style. Can we agree on that?
Yes, and it's scary, because you're right. NXT is the WWE's answer to Ring of Honor, but they're going to have that huge WWE machine behind it. So it's going to be interesting to see what they can do with that machine behind them live on USA 2 hours every single week.
I thoroughly agree. I think the competition within the company is actually going to be as interesting, if not more interesting, than the Wednesday night competition.
Yeah.
I really do. Maybe it's because I know the players personally. Like, it's going to be interesting to see once Raw, you know, is on USA, Fox is on, SmackDown's on Fox, and then we get NXT. It's going to be interesting to see, because these three brands are going to want to fire their best shots every single week, just like Raw and Nitro were doing back in the day. Nobody's going to sit back and relax. Nobody's just going to play it, especially the NXT crew. Those guys and gals are going to be out to prove themselves. They're going to be out for blood. How do I know that? Because I used to be one of those guys. I used to be one of those young cats who would go out there and just, you know, when you were done, you'd come through back through the locker room and you kind of say to yourself, okay, follow that, veterans. That's great. I used to love it, Dave. Love it when I, you know, like me and Devon and the Hardys or Edge Christian, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Used to tear the house down and come back and look at the main event and just be like, yeah, good, follow that. And that's not ego. That's just good for competition. And that's what's going to happen amongst NXT, Raw, and SmackDown. And you could have, like I said, you could have everybody and their mother come on this show and go, no, Bully, you're wrong. That's not the way it's going to be. Yes, it is. Because I have no reason to lie to you. I'm telling you exactly how the Vince would be thinking, all of the creative people will be thinking, and all of the wrestlers will be thinking. Everybody's going to be out to outdo one another. It's the nature of the beast in pro wrestling.
Thanks for listening. Catch us weekdays on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.